comments and views expressed on The Kevin Smith Show are those of the people that make them and do not necessarily reflect the views of Kevin Smith, The Kevin Smith Show, or its affiliates or sponsors.
Hi, folks, and welcome to The Kevin Smith Show. Whoever you are, wherever you are, all around this gorgeous place we call Earth, thank you for being here at The Kevin Smith Show. We're here because you have a right to know, and because you matter. Tonight is going to be Open Line Live. We are going to open up the telephone lines, and we'll talk about whatever it is you wish to talk about. Now, as always, I've brought a couple of things to throw on the table, but, the best part of Open Line Live is that we talk about a lot of different topics. You know, we open up the phones and whatever is on your mind within the genre of the strange and unexplained, we'll talk about it. So get your fingers warmed up, get ready, because... In just a little bit, we're going to open up the telephone lines, and you need to have them all warmed up and ready to dial those numbers, okay? Tonight is also K-Files night. That means that at the end of the show tonight, after we go off the air, we'll begin sending out the K-Files. And if you are not getting the K-Files, it's free. Why aren't you getting it? You should be getting it. It's free, but you can unsubscribe anytime you want to. And, my goodness, why wouldn't you avail yourself of free information like that? You know, we put a lot of inside information about the Kevin Smith Show and the K-Files, what's coming up, what's going on behind the scenes. But we also have articles, things that are happening out there around the world that have something to do with our genre, and links to videos, links to always a free download, audience feedback, all kinds of good stuff in the K-Files. So if you're not subscribed, be sure you get over to my website and subscribe. It's very easy to do. You just get to kevinsmithshow.com. Now, when you get there, when you arrive at the website, right in the middle of your screen, you'll see the word in big letters. It says K-Files. Click that. It's a link. And it asks you for your email address. So put in your email address and submit. Now, you're going to get an email automatically from us. And it has a link in it that you need to use to activate your subscription. If you don't activate your subscription, you won't get the K-Files. So be sure you do activate your subscription with that link, and then you'll start getting it. And in fact, if you do that right now, you'll get this week's edition. So be sure you get that done. And again, the price for the K-Files, free, really free. No strings attached. Tonight, we also want to encourage you, if you are not a member, to join. It's always free to listen. But in the members community, you get to watch the live shows. And you also get the archives. You get our forums. And you get chat. And you get your own blog, your own video album. Where you can upload video clips, your own photo album, where you can upload your favorite photos, friends page, more, and more, and special broadcasts like the one coming up tomorrow. We'll be back right after this. All right. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. And as I said, this is Open Line Live tonight. So we have a number of topics we're going to throw onto the table. And just to get us started, to get that pump primed, so we'll be ready to call in and discuss something at least. Let me show you something very quickly here. Watch this. For those of you unfamiliar with it, those who are watching, what I'm pointing to right here, with I'll point with my pen, that's called a telephone, okay? And when we open up the telephone lines, what you do is you dial the number into that telephone. It'll transport you here, and we can talk. And so that's... But now they come in a lot of different sizes and shapes. They don't all look like the one I just showed you. Oh, mercy. Someone slapped me for being a smart aleck. Okay. We've had some important shows this week, some very, very important shows this week. And you may want to comment on those. I've gotten a lot of email about Command Sergeant Major James Norton's death. And, you know, so far, all of the email that I've gotten says that, or it expresses the view that people think someone killed him. Now, I said in the show that we did with, we had John Vasquez on, for those of you unfamiliar with it, John Vasquez has been telling us for about 20 years now that there was, in 1977, a battle between some UFOs and the U.S. Army at Fort Benning. He says he was there, and he's told us the things that he experienced there. But until recently, no one else had stepped up to say, yes, I was there, and Vasquez is telling the truth. And then this year, earlier this year, Command Sergeant Major James Norton stepped up and said, I was there. It happened just like John Vasquez said. Now, he tells the story from the perspective of being at a different location at Fort Benning than Vasquez was. You know, he has a different perspective on it, but he tells essentially the same story. And after appearing on this show is the one he came on first to tell his story. He told his story here, and then we talked about it. The next night, we had John Vasquez on to talk about what he had listened, he heard, and so we had him on to compare notes and to talk about it. And he said that everything that James Norton said fits with what he saw and with what he experienced, but from the point of view, the perspective from being a different location on the base. So, some time went by, and Command Sergeant Major Norton told us that he had some debris from a downed UFO, and he had it hidden, and he was going to have it tested. So some time goes by, and I got in touch with Command Sergeant Major James Norton and asked him if he would come back on the show and let's get an update. He did so, and at that point he told us that he had been back over to Fort Benning to take some pictures and to shoot some video of the location where he had been when this battle took place. So while he was there, he was contacted by military police who told him to leave the base. As he was leaving the base, they stopped him again and said, the base commander wants to talk with you. And he told us a story about being detained and taken to the base commander. The base commander, according to him, took the memory sticks, the memory chips, out of his cameras. His cameras were digital, so they didn't use film. They used memory sticks. He said the base commander confiscated those. Also, he said the base commander put him on the phone with the NSA, and a guy from the NSA told him to stop what he was doing and to stop it right now. CSM Norton said on this show that he was not going to stop, that he had done nothing illegal. He said he was now under surveillance, that there were these SUVs outside his home, and he was under surveillance. He said he was not scared. He knew how to take care of himself, and he was not going to be stopped. He was not going to be silenced because, he said, we still have freedom of speech. And he had not done one thing illegal. Well, we didn't hear from him again, and the next thing I heard was from John Vasquez last week telling me that Command Sergeant, no, this week, on Monday night, right before the show, telling me that Command Sergeant Major James Norton was dead. And then there were some very suspicious circumstances about the death in that he was feeling fine one day, the next day he was feeling awful, and he was taken to the hospital, and then there was a very fast cascading of the discovery of several serious diseases, cancer, leukemia, hepatitis C, the bone marrow turning to mush, and then swelling up and dying of a heart attack. Very fast-moving cascading of diseases. So that's the story. And I did a show this week with John Vasquez where we discussed this. And I said, and I still maintain, yes, it is very suspicious. On the other hand, I'm not a medical doctor, and I have to say that, you know, there's always the possibility that all of this was very normal, very natural, just maybe a little bit rare. Yet the circumstances are quite suspicious, and there's certainly I think it's worth looking at. I hope someone does look into this and investigate it professionally. That would be way beyond my scope. That takes a pathologist. But I really hope someone does. But the email that I've gotten about it has 100% has been people saying that they think that Command Sergeant Major James Norton was killed, was poisoned some way. And they think that it's as a result of his speaking out about this battle and confirming the John Vasquez story. One of our callers to that show said that it was because that he thought that he was killed, and he thought it was because of the metal fragments, the debris that James Norton said he had and was going to have tested. He said, I think that was his death certificate, his death warrant right there. So maybe you've got something tonight when we open the phones that you would like to discuss about James Norton. And we certainly can do that. I will give you as much information as I have. And maybe you've found some other information. Maybe you are a medical doctor. And perhaps you can give us a sort of unofficial but professional opinion about this cascade of serious disorders and diseases that took him down very, very quickly. Perhaps you could enlighten us on that, and I hope you will. If you are a medical doctor, we would love to hear your opinion about that. Even if you're not a medical doctor, we want to hear your opinion about it. Also, last night we had a kind of a different type of show in that Sam Maranto was my guest. Now, that's not different. He's been on the show a number of times. But Sam Maranto is the Illinois State MUFON director, and he's in the business of investigating UFO sightings, UFO reports. What's different about last night's show is that he told us about investigating a UFO report that led him into all kinds of evidence about Bigfoot. And his team has run into all of this information and all of this evidence of Bigfoot presence as a result of this UFO investigation that they were involved in. Now, this this Bigfoot investigation had some features that are really quite different from what we normally hear. Because this group of, or family, or tribe of Sasquatch, or Bigfoot, appear to be more human than animal, and they say words in English, but they also say words in Native American tongue, and I'm not remembering at this moment which Native American language Sam Maranto told us, if he told us, but he did say it was Native American or American Indian language, and some French words. And they interact with a family. There are two members of this family that have had face-to-face, you might say, encounters with these, we'll say, creatures. And in one case, the lady that reported the UFO, it was her son who had this face-to-face encounter. There were some guys with high-powered rifles trying to shoot a Bigfoot that was up on a roof. There was another Bigfoot near them that they didn't know about. This lady's son arrived at the scene to try and get them to stop shooting at this Bigfoot. And when he got out of the car, he was face to face with the second Bigfoot, who was upset, looked aggressive. The son said, "No, friend." And the Bigfoot said, "Danger, go." And then this second Bigfoot let out a big scream, and the guys with the guns were scared to death and took off running. An amazing story. Now, this is not the only story of Bigfoot talking to people here in the United States. There is a lady, I believe in Ohio, that says there's a family of Bigfoot that live on her place, and she lives at the place where she was raised. And she's been around them her whole life. And she said that they do talk. And she said they like to eat garlic. And so sometimes the sort of head of the tribe, I guess we would say the alpha male, knocks at her back door and asks her if she has garlic. And she said it's a real rough kind of guttural voice, but speaks English and asks for garlic. She said they are harmless. They don't want to hurt anybody. And, you know, they coexist quite on a friendly basis with her and her family. So that one, I think that one's in Ohio. This other one that Sam Maranto told us about last night, that's in somewhere in Illinois where he is the MUFON state director. There may be other accounts around the country of people who have face-to-face encounters with Bigfoot and who talk with them. These are the only two that I'm aware of. These are the only two I've heard of. But there may be other cases around the country, and people are, for whatever reason, keeping that quiet, keeping that a secret, because they don't want, I guess they don't want the publicity. Or maybe they don't want people coming out and trying to find these Bigfoot and so they can talk to them. Because you know how we are. I mean, come on, you know. I'm telling you what Sam Maranto told us, and I'm telling you about another Bigfoot story in Ohio. I have the one in Ohio. I saw that on a documentary. And then last night we heard the one from Sam Maranto. And you know how we are. There are people saying, yeah, right. I'd believe it when I talk to one and he talks to me. Okay, but see, nobody's asking you to believe it. You're under no pressure to believe it. Nobody's even dangling the idea in front of you to get you to believe it. But people are like that, and so they would want to go out there and get proof for themselves, as if that matters. Because once you have proof for yourself, who do you think's going to believe you? Nobody. So, anyway, maybe you want to talk about talking Bigfoot, and are they human? Are they maybe from another planet, or are they a branch of the human family that it's just a whole different branch that we're just now kind of discovering? What are they? Apparently, you know, he said the ones in Illinois have the cone head, but they have a more human face. And I wonder, you know, is it possible that these are the very beings responsible for those cone head skulls and mummies down in South America? Maybe it's the same tribe. Maybe they migrated. All right, we are going to step away for a break. When we come back, we are going to open up the telephone lines and get your fingers ready to do the dialing.
To the Kevin Smith Show, a place where you can get information that's out of this world.
All right, welcome back to Open Line Live at the Kevin Smith Show. This is Kevin Smith, the host, and the telephones are open. The telephone number is 623-444-5889. 623-444-5889. And if you are in the United States or Canada, please use that number. Now, if you're outside of the USA or you're outside of Canada, in other words, you're not in USA or Canada, you can use an additional option. That phone number works and you can call us, but we know it's expensive to call internationally, and so we have another option for you, and the other option is called a flash message. So you go to my website, kevinsmithshow.com, scroll down till you see the picture about tonight's show, and right above the picture you'll see the link that says flash message. And you can communicate with me that way, okay? Caller, you are live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Yeah, good evening, Kevin. This is Terry from Ohio.
Hello, Terry.
Hi, Kevin. So how was your vacation in California?
Well, it was a working vacation. I was extremely busy, but it was great. I got to meet lots of people.
Enjoy yourself, huh?
Yeah, I got to meet a lot of people.
Yeah. A little far for me, unfortunately. To be able to make something like that, unfortunately, I would love it. But anyways, I was calling, you've been out of touch here lately. And, you know, I heard, first couple of nights when you, even took the show from the guy, I don't know, I can't think of his name, I'm sorry, but the captain in the Black Sea about supposedly that UFO that's down there.
Uh-huh. Captain Robert McDonald.
Kind of an update on that?
No update at all on the Baltic Sea. Now, first of all, I announced it in our monthly chat, our last monthly chat, and then I have published it somewhere in the forums as well, that there is another object that they're going after, and it is a triangular object, and they are going to go down with actual manned submarines and take a look at this thing. And that is progressing. They are getting very close to being able to do that.
Sounds good. Saying it's you had a chance and listen and hear up any updates, and just kind of curious about what was going on there, if it was, people were calling it, forest and stuff, and, I just wonder if they was getting anywhere.
Well, the Black Sea operation I've had no updates on. The new operation that he's involved with, he has updated me. And what I just told you is as much of the update as I can tell right now. There are other details. It's very exciting, but I can't go any further than that right now. However, you need to stay tuned because there's some big news coming related to this new investigation of something on the ocean floor. Big news coming. And I wish I could tell you right now, but I can't.
This will be coming next week?
I have no idea. It's not going to be long. It's coming soon.
Okay. I guess I'll keep myself peeled best I can.
Yeah. Yeah. See, and they're keeping everything really under wraps, and I will not know until less than 24 hours before they start this dive.
Yeah.
Okay, so...
Yeah, to keep the powers to be, with all their technology off their backs, it's practically impossible, and to be able to also share in any fashion, without them, being all over it, that's for sure.
Yeah. Now this thing...
I can understand that.
This thing glows blue at nighttime.
Oh, really?
Yeah. It can be seen
Sounds
from
very
space.
Interesting.
Yeah, it can be seen from space at nighttime quite clearly. It glows a blue hue. And it is triangular, and it's gigantic.
Yeah, it can't be a chance of something of ours.
Well, at this point, it could be anything. We just don't know. Just don't know.
Because I understand that, We got more stuff than what we know down, you know, undersea. From what I understand and researched, that the Navy, has some pretty neat stuff down there, and they do most of their research under the sea and, you know, submarines and all that stuff. So,
If they get down there and it happens, if they get down there and it happens to be U.S. Navy, they won't be down there long.
Yeah, well, you think they would definitely be chased away before they even get a chance to go down there.
They'll find out about it real quick.
They still got them looking over their shoulders and stuff, or like you did, and, you know.
Yeah, at his home port, still the Men in Black scenario happening.
Yeah, it's just surprising. It's like, you know, these other countries are coming out with it, and plus I know we're putting pressure on them to keep them quiet, and, you know, it just, how long do they think they can keep up this charade, you know? I mean, it's going to pop sooner or later. I guess they'll try as long as they can. I don't know. So, I just wondering about that.
All right.
That's about all I have.
All right. Thanks for the call.
Yep. Thanks, Kev.
All right. 623-444-5889. And we would love to hear from you. If you've got anything on your mind that's within our genre, let's talk about it, okay? Doesn't matter where you live, you can get in touch with us. If you live in the USA or Canada, it's very easy to get in touch with us by telephone at the telephone number that I've been giving out. And it is 623-444-5889. If you do not live in the USA or Canada, you can call that number. It'll work. But we know it can be expensive. So we also have something called a flash message option for you. If you're outside the USA or Canada, go to the website, kevinsmithshow.com, scroll down right above the picture about tonight's show. You will see a link, and that link says flash message. So you can send me your question or comment that way. I'll read it on the air and respond to it gladly. And there is another way. There is yet another way for you to be in touch with us. And that is, if you have Skype and you have one of those, you've set up an account where you can use Skype to dial telephone numbers, you can use that to call our telephone number. Now, be sure that you have your Skype set up so that it has caller ID, because our system requires caller ID in order to answer, okay, in order for the call to get through. But you can call us from anywhere in the world, and we'll be glad to talk with you. So, what do you think about this Bigfoot thing? What do you think about Command Sergeant Major James Norton? Do you think that his death was unfortunate, but and although a little bit strange, natural, or do you think someone did him in? And if you think somebody did him in, why do you think that? 623-444-5889. Now, there are some of you still, maybe you came in late and you didn't see this, so let me do this for you. Those who are watching, if you're watching the show, watch where I'm pointing right now. See this? This is called a telephone, okay? And you have one. They come in different sizes, shapes, colors, and configurations. But if you push the buttons on this magical machine in the right order, it will transport you right over here to the studio. Now, if you're watching the screen, you can see there is a blinking light now. That's because someone has just called us, all right? So let's go to the telephone. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Kevin, this is Jerome from Pennsylvania.
Hello, Jerome.
Hi. I missed the first part of your the show, and I wondered if you talked about the Russian Mars satellite that was, you know, that they launched that's orbiting the Earth.
No, I have not talked about that this evening, but that's a good thing for us to talk about, so let's do that. You know, they have been getting periodic bursts of telemetry from it. Somehow, this thing has put itself into a better orbit than it was in. They don't know how. They don't know why. But it's in a better orbit than it was in, so that it will eventually crash to the Earth, but it will not crash as soon as they had expected. Today, they lost telemetry altogether. And so it's gone silent again.
Was there any did they make any the window of opportunity, you know, to get it going towards Mars? Was that ever discussed?
Yeah, they have up until some date in December. I'm thinking December the 12th. But I'm not sure about the date, but it's December. And as long as they can get it fired up and headed towards Mars within that period of time, they're good to go. But so far, no luck. And today, it went silent again.
Well, hopefully they'll get it fired up, at least to get it out of the Earth's atmosphere. You know, gravity pull, so that it at least goes towards Mars. You know, I was reading somewhere, and it was a long time ago. I don't remember where it was, but they were talking about the first lunar shot from Mars, from the U.S. and the USSR, and they completely missed the moon. And they understood, you know, the celestial mechanics of it, and they said, all this article said was that there was some new physics involved they didn't know about, but they learned from these failed missions. I thought it incredible that they could completely miss the moon.
Jerome, I think so too. Can you hang on through this break?
Sure, Kevin.
All right, you hang on. We'll be back right after this. Folks, don't go away. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. We have Jerome from Pennsylvania on the telephone with us. You still with us, Jerome?
Yes, I am, Kevin.
Okay. You know, we were talking about how the first, I think it was the Russians, when they sent their first probe to the moon, it flew past the moon. They missed the moon. And the article that you read said something about that there was a whole new kind of physics involved that they hadn't counted on. They had to learn. Do you know what that was?
No, that was my that was what I was wondering, because that was the last time I really heard anything, and I even think it mentioned Wernher von Braun, and it said that their team calculated and missed the moon, the Russians missed the moon, until they came up with this new, and to use the phrase you had, a type of physics that they understood.
Let me tell you what it is.
Okay.
Here's what they discovered. And this really blows the lid off of a lot of stuff NASA tells you about the moon. What they discovered is that the zero point is not where they thought it was. Now, the zero point, that's a term I'm using. They have a technical term they use for it. I just can't remember what it is. But the Earth's gravity, and there is a point at which the Earth's gravity and the gravitational pull of the moon are equal, so that a spaceship in that zone is not being pulled toward the moon or toward the Earth, because they are equal at that point. Well, they had calculated, you know, they said that the gravity of the moon is 1/6 of the Earth. That was their calculation. And they had used that to determine how far out that gravitational pull was and where the zero point would be. And they missed it, because the moon's gravity is not 1/6 of the Earth, it's 66% of the Earth. So the zero point is much further out, much closer to the Earth than what they had calculated. And that's what messed them up.
Why do you think why wouldn't they publish that?
Well, they accidentally did. Wernher von Braun accidentally stated it. And one of the astronauts on the way to the moon accidentally stated it. But why would they try to hide that? Well, I don't know. Unless, like Mars, the moon's conditions are more Earth-like than they want us to know. Now, folks, I'm not saying that the moon is Earth-like. I said more Earth-like. The moon has a gravity of 66% of the Earth. It does have an atmosphere. It does have water. Now, just because it has an atmosphere does not mean that I'm saying it's breathable and that you could just go for a stroll on the moon. That's not what I'm saying. But what I'm saying is that, you know, the story we had, it had 1/6 of the Earth's gravity and virtually no atmosphere, and it's bone dry. Well, none of that's true. And we know that none of that's true. They have now told us that there is water, and in fact, quite a bit of water on the moon. If there's water, there's atmosphere.
It seems that whatever we learn from NASA is always by accident.
Yeah, they let little things out that they didn't intend to let out, but yeah, you're right.
But like you also said, we learn nothing from the military.
That's true. As bad as NASA is in terms of just coming clean and telling us what they know, they don't. On most of the important stuff, they don't. But as bad as they are, we at least get some stuff from them. And with that, we are able to piece together what's really going on.
Also, as far as Command Sergeant Major Norton, I told you the other day when we spoke that I thought it was a murder case.
Yeah.
And I also asked you about the medal, what you would do if you had some medal that you received.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought that was very good advice, because when I heard CSM Norton state over the years that he had these pieces of metal, I knew right away that it would be lost.
Yeah. And, you know, I don't know. Sometimes people will make a statement like that simply because they are not familiar with what goes on in this genre. And, they don't consider the fact that there's danger. And so, they're sort of innocently ignorant of the game that they have entered. And yeah, so they make the statement. Sometimes people make a statement like that because they feel like they need to offer something that will help to prove to people that they're telling the truth. And what they really need to do is just adopt the view and the attitude that I have, and that is, I don't care whether you believe me or not. I didn't ask you to believe me. You know?
Yeah, I'm getting to the point where I don't care what people think. I'm going to say what I think is right. Such as the other night I told you that I think they should legalize all drugs.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, if you say that to most people, find that abhorrent. And like I also prefaced by saying is that I have kids. I wouldn't want them to be on drugs. I'm not on drugs. But I think it should be handled, you know, like a DUI problem, and treat it that way and the money out of it, so you couldn't fund these black ops, operations, and also the drug cartel.
You know, when I was in police academy, we had a guy that was really like a drill sergeant. I mean, he really, really was tough as nails. But surprisingly, his position on that was not only should we legalize drugs, we ought to bring the dump trucks full of them and just dump them on street corners. And everybody in the police academy just kind of raised their eyebrows like, oh, wow. He said, because it's a self-eliminating problem. The people who want to use it to excess will. And it'll be free, and they'll just use it till they kill themselves. And then there won't be anybody left that wants to use it. Then you can clean it all up, problem solved. I don't know. I don't know that it would work that way, but that was his solution.
Well, I understand what he's saying, because I was pretty much the same thought. Was mine was that they should just have clinics and open the clinics up, and if you wanted to do drugs there, if you wanted to stay there until you dropped over dead, fine.
Yeah.
But take the money out of it, and that would put an end to all the violence in Mexico and, you know, the Southwest and all over every place.
Well, one thing is for sure, what we are doing isn't working. So,
well, you know what?
You know, there's got to be another solution.
The other day when Jerry Wills was on, he had a segment where he said, you know, what makes you mad? I don't know if you heard the show at all or not.
No, I was traveling.
Okay, and there was technical difficulties that night also. But that's one of the things that I said made me mad is that we repeatedly don't get stuff done. We have this war on drugs that is not a war. I mean, we never won.
Jerome, I hate to do it. We have a break taking over. I got to run, man. I want to thank you for the call. Folks, we will be back right after this. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show and Open Line Live. Wherever you happen to be around this planet, we want to hear from you. The telephone number is 623-444-5889. You know, I didn't get to hear Jerry Will's show. He sat in for me as I was traveling. Now, the reason I was traveling is our producer had to make an emergency trip to visit a family member who's very, very ill. And he was returning. His flight was returning on that night. And so I asked Jerry to sit in for me, and he did. But it's about a two-hour drive to get to the airport. And and that's with no traffic, two-hour drive. 2 hours there and 2 hours back, you know, I didn't, there was no way I could be here to make it for the show. So I didn't hear that. But I did get several emails from people who said, you know, he was telling stories that were so interesting, I didn't want to interrupt. Well, when you don't, when he's asking you to call and you don't, you know what happens? We follow the trend. When you don't call, we figure you want to be a couch potato. And so when you don't call and, you know, we have lots and lots of time and nobody calls, we figure, okay, let's follow the trend. And then we do something called turning off the phones. Okay? And because, look, you know, we can talk for, I can talk for hours and hours and hours nonstop. Believe me, I can. But the reason we open up the telephones is to give you the opportunity to discuss things that are on your mind, things that are important. You know, the government doesn't care what you think. They say they do, but they don't. They say, we want to hear from you. And then they do what they want to do anyway. Okay? Your boss doesn't want to hear from you. They may say they do, but the company's going to do what the company's going to do anyway. And on and on and on the list goes where, you know, your opinion really doesn't have any impact and is not important to anybody. That's not the case here. The case here is that you are important and what you think is important. And that's why we open those phone lines. That's why we ask you, what are you thinking about? What's on your mind? What do you think about this? What do you think about that? And if you don't want to talk about those things, what is it that you do want to talk about? It's an important thing. You don't live, look, you live most of your life as a spectator. You know that, right? You sit and look at TV. You sit and look at the internet. You sit and look at your iPhone. But here is an opportunity for you to get in and mix it up and make something happen by getting other people to think. So give us a call and let's talk about it. 623-444-5889. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Yeah, hi, Kevin. This is Victoria from Washington.
Hello, Victoria. How are you?
Welcome back.
Well, thank you.
It's good to have you back again. I listened to your alchemy presentation and all of that. So, really,
what'd you think about that?
I was glued to my computer until I was almost blind, and it was really great. It was well worth the. But the offer that came through your program for early sign up was just outstanding, and wow. Okay, got an earful. And before I go into why I called, I hope you get Laura Eisenhower back on again, because I just love to listen to her. She is just such a powerful role model for people, especially, you know, in these times when things are so, you know, whacked out and crazy and frightening.
And I'll tell you
she's
something.
She's got a very positive message, so I hope you can do that sometime. And then
we're the going
to. That I called was I was wondering, because I hadn't heard this before, and I don't know if anything has been written about it, but I heard that, I think it's tomorrow morning about 7 a.m. Pacific time, 10 a.m. Eastern time, they have a launch of a new Mars unmanned rover called Curiosity. Anyway, it's supposed to have a whole new power system. You know, it's not solar or anything like that, and it has a new power system. Rocket-powered sky crane is making its debut flight, and it's going to, like, lower it down onto the Mars surface, not like on bouncing balls like they have with the Pathfinder and Spirit and Opportunity, but so it's a Mars rover, And it will rely on landing rockets positioned above the rover, and it will have a it's a one ton vehicle, which is like the biggest, massive, most massive thing they've ever sent to Mars. So it's like a one, I don't know how much a ton is, but close to 2,000 pounds. Anyway, mm-hmm. Less than that. But
well, this thing is the size of a Chevrolet Impala.
Well, it's pretty darn big, yeah. And it's supposed to be powered by some new kind of system that, you know, it can run 24 hours a day, 360 days a year. They don't have to, you know, power down for nighttime, and they don't have to power down for winter. And it has its own heating mechanism that it can, you know, keep it warm in the cold, sunless periods, so that it can keep running and operating. And it's there to, you know, do some pretty interesting scientific type studies. And I'm just kind of amazing that nothing's been said on the news about it. And it's launching tomorrow morning, so I don't even know if it's even going to be on TV to watch it, but it sounds kind of exciting.
I think it is exciting. Its power system is plutonium. And that may be one of the reasons they're sort of not talking about it a lot until they actually get it launched and get it away from Earth. Because, you know, if there is a mishap as it's going up and the thing blows up, that plutonium hits the atmosphere. So it's pretty dangerous.
And we'll all die.
Well, I don't know.
Right?
Nah, I don't think we would all die. Maybe, but I don't think so. But it would not be very popular for that to happen. So that may be why they're keeping it a little bit quiet. But once it's up and away, and especially once it's on the surface of Mars, there's not going to be too much outcry about there being plutonium on board. It's just, you know, a little dangerous during launch. So,
right.
Yeah, so that may be why they're not talking about it a whole lot. There's a little bit out there about it. And have you seen pictures of it?
No, I was kind of searching for some pictures, but I didn't find anything. But well, actually, I think I maybe saw it, but they were small and I couldn't. You know, if I blew them up, then they were all kind of fuzzed out, so it's hard to tell anything. But I used to live in JPL neighborhood in Southern California,
uh-huh.
And I remember that I had a friend that went to the church that I went to, and he was a JPL physicist, and he says, "Yeah, let me give you a tour of JPL." And I was amazed, you know, because they would engineer and design these things that were, I can't even remember now, you know, where they went, because it was so long ago. But I was in my, probably in my early 30s, but, you know, that's like 30 years ago.
Yeah.
So it's a little far back in my memory banks, but I was so amazed that these things were, you know, paper thin.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they were so flimsy, and it was like aluminum foil stretched over a scaffold of wires and really thin pieces of really lightweight titanium or lightweight metal or something. And I thought, whoa. Those things will stand they were built to be, you know, as lightweight as possible, but this guy is, Curiosity is the name of it, to Mars is pretty hefty, so in comparison.
Yeah. Well, you know, those things that look, you know, it looks like aluminum foil, it looks like that. But that's not what it is. And their tensile strength usually is as strong or stronger than steel. even though it looks like aluminum foil and it's paper thin and lightweight, it's really very, very strong. But you're right about the Curiosity. The Curiosity is, well, as I said, it's about the size of a Chevrolet Impala. And it has a payload, a possible payload of 75 kilograms, which is a lot more than any previous rover. And one of the things it's going to be looking for is organics. So, and I don't really, honestly, Victoria, I don't know why they feel like they need to go look for organics. They already found it in 1976 with Gil Levin's experiment on the Viking lander. They already found it. There's no question.
Well, yeah, we have pictures of it, too.
Yeah. Yeah. So, but anyway, they're doing it, and I'm pretty sure as soon as this thing is ready to land on Mars, there's going to be all kinds of publicity about it.
Well, do you know how long the mission will take to actually get there before it lands?
I read that and I don't remember because another date sticks out in my mind. Do you know how long this is, the power system is prepared to function and power this thing?
Probably infinitely.
14 years.
Yeah, well, and 24/7, 365, too.
Yeah, that's right.
It will not shut down at night. It will not shut down in the winter, and it will stay warm because of this power system. It will stay warm, and it can function and, you know, continue on with whatever it's there for to experiment on, which is kind of pretty astounding. And but it's like I just kind of found out, stumbled into it, and I just kind of found out about it, and I was looking for, you know, when it was actually going to get there. I don't know, what's the normal space travel time from here to Mars?
Well, see, it depends on what time of the year.
Like a couple of months or something?
Well, normally about 3 months, but sometimes 6 months to get there. And there are times of the year when if you launched, it would take you close to a year to get there. So they try to time it at the times of the year when the travel time will be shorter. So probably about 3 months, three to 6 months. Yeah.
Well, we'll have to keep our finger on the pulse to find out what happens to it. Hopefully it won't disappear.
Yeah, well, you know, something very strange is going on with the Russian satellite or the Russian spacecraft that had a satellite on board headed over to Mars. It's called Phobos Grunt, and it launched into space, and everything was, all systems working, and as soon as it separated from its launch stage, it went quiet. They lost it, and then they found. They found it again.
They actually lost it. But
well, no, they did. They actually lost it. They didn't know where it was.
It might not be our guys, but somebody knows.
Yeah, yeah. The Russians actually lost it. They didn't know where it was, and then they found it, and they have gotten little bursts of telemetry from it. And for some reason, it boosted itself into a better orbit, and they don't know why, because they didn't tell it to. And then today, they lost telemetry again. It went silent again. So something weird is going on with that. Let's hope that doesn't befall the Curiosity.
Well, I hope. Anyway, Mars is always kind of an interesting place, especially with all that Laura Eisenhower had to say about it and the other guests that you've had. I just kind of like to hear more. It's like you have to listen with intensity when she talks, because she talks so fast and it's so coherent.
Yeah.
I mean, there's not an or an or a pause or anything. She just, you know, the stream of consciousness is just like spewing out of her so fast, and it's you have to listen very, very intensely. And I think she's worthwhile, because she can only hear part of what she's saying, and then your mind goes off and thinks about it for an instant, and then she's like three thoughts down the road ahead of you, so you have to kind of play catch up. But I think it would be good to hear her, even, you know, if it's, you know, nothing new to report, just to, you know, get the dialogue going on what she's been doing, and
well,
how
you watch the Alchemy.
I think it's pretty astounding.
You watched the Alchemy conference that day, so
I watched it Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. So
okay. So you got to see and hear her a couple of times.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I put my tape recorder on, so, because I knew I couldn't keep notes fast enough. I can't think and write at the same time. I can't listen and write at the same time. So I recorded it, but then my battery ran out of it, and I didn't get the third day, so darn.
Yeah. Yeah, well,
But I got you. I get to listen to you over, too.
Well, I'm glad you did. And
hey, by the way, one thing, I think you slightly mentioned it, and I haven't checked my mail, but you're doing something tomorrow morning for subscribers?
Tomorrow and Sunday. I've been given permission by the organizer of the Alchemy event to broadcast my presentation. Now, I can't broadcast anything else, any other parts of the Alchemy event, but I was given permission to broadcast my presentation. So tomorrow and Sunday, both days.
Is it at 10 o'clock Pacific?
You know, I honestly can't remember. I posted that in the announcements forum, and
I know, and I put a mental note down, and of course, I thought for sure you would. Well, number one, you need to let everyone know again, because
yeah. Well, my announcement is, folks, go to the announcements forum and read it, because where it's. That's where it is, and I've already programmed it into the software to play at the right time, and I don't remember. I've had so many things going on this week, I honestly don't remember what time that will play tomorrow. But it's in the announcements forum. And,
well, I'm thinking it's 10 Pacific time, but I'm not sure.
It might be.
But, yeah. Do check. But if you get a chance to, tune into it, for anyone listening tonight, it's really worth your time to listen to it. So,
well, thank you.
I just wanted to give you a plug.
Thank you.
Thank you, Kevin. Have
All right.
a great night.
All right. I have to ask you something, though.
Yes.
When I did this presentation, I asked everyone that was watching on the live stream to participate with us and to howl with us. Did you howl?
Yeah, well, sort of.
Okay, good.
I had sort of a little, I have a little, well, at the time, that last, that time, I had a little border terrier, and I lost her two nights ago, so I didn't want to, overexcite her with howling hysterically.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
But she was having a pretty hard time, so I just gave her a little woof woof.
All
but,
right.
Yeah, that was a demonstration of our folly.
Yeah. It
How
worked.
Easily led into howling like a wolf we are.
That's right. That's right. Okay, well, Victoria, I want to thank you for the call. It's been fascinating.
Well, you have a great weekend. Thanks, Kevin.
All right. Thank you. Ah, yes, indeed. Well, look, folks, I spoke at the Alchemy event, and I'm going to be able to broadcast. They captured it. I'm going to be able to broadcast that tomorrow as a special broadcast in our members community. So if you're not a member, join. It's only $7.50 a month. That's 25 cents a day, and we give you the first 7 days for free. Join right now. Then you can watch it. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hello, Kevin. This is Kentucky. Welcome back.
Hello, Mike.
Enjoyed talking to Jerry last night, or night before last, it was.
Uh-huh.
But, you know, there's a lot of people of your that are members of your show, and I've, you know, picked this up from listening to the phone calls, that prefer specific guests over the others.
Mm-hmm.
Like the, you know, the present one, the Eisenhower girl.
Uh-huh.
Maybe, perhaps, at some point in the future, you might be able to catalog all of the shows that they've been on your, all the times they've been on your show, and put it into a folder just for them. And then that might help those people get the MP3s, you know, and download them.
Well, all they have to do is go to the K-Pods and on their browser click Edit and Find and type the name in.
And it'll find every one of them?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Well, I don't use that a whole lot.
Well, but, it comes down to knowing how to use your computer.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I guess I'm pretty much K-Pod illiterate. How's that?
K-Pod illiterate. I've never heard that phrase before. No, on any page on the Internet, if you click on your browser, you click Edit and then Find or Search.
Right.
Then you can type in the search term that you're looking for. For instance, James Norton, you can type in Norton, and it'll find the one closest to the top. And you click on next, it'll find the next one. You click on next, it'll find the next one. And it'll take you all the way through the K-Pods that way. It'll find all of them for you.
Well, my favorite, of course, is James from Texas, you know.
James Horak?
Yeah.
That is a fascinating individual.
Yeah.
You have visited with him.
Even my wife likes him, believe it or not. She doesn't like hardly anybody.
It's real hard not to like James.
I know.
You know, but now you visited with him at his home. Did he fix you any coffee?
He fixed my wife coffee. I don't drink coffee. He offered to fix me some strychnine, and I declined.
Hang on, we have a break. I'll catch you on the other side, folks. We'll be back right after this. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. We're open line live tonight at 623-444-5889. On the telephone with me is Mike from Kentucky, and we were discussing James Horak's coffee. And you said you don't drink coffee. Did your wife comment anything about the coffee that he made for her?
Well, she told him that she enjoyed the coffee. It was very good. You know, he introduced her to the little berries on the cedar trees,
mm-hmm.
and also some other natural remedies, you know, one can take for various things.
We'll talk about those, but I want to talk about the coffee. Folks, you know, I visited with James Horak, and I'm going to tell you, this guy, you think you've had strong coffee. This guy makes coffee. The first time you drink it, it's something akin to being hit in the mouth with a cricket bat. or a baseball bat. It is strong, but it only takes one cup to be addicted. It's absolutely fantastic.
Okay. She did have him water it down just a little bit the first cup.
Yeah, it's strong. It's really strong. He mixes two different kinds of coffee to make that. And
she likes strong coffee.
I do, too. And but it is fantastic coffee. But until you go there and you let James fix you some coffee, you've never, ever had coffee like that. And so it was a new experience for me. Okay, tell me about the berries.
Well, you know, the cedar berries, he's got those cedar trees all around his backyard out there, and mm-hmm. they have the little blue berries that grow on them. Most people are aware of those berries, but we know the birds eat them, but we never think about eating them ourselves. But he informed us that those things had very good medicinal. Value, and so he gave us a few of them to chew on, and we have those trees around here also, so when we see them, we pull a handful on them and off of them and chew them.
What do they taste like?
Well, I really can't tell you what they taste like. Just don't chew them like you would a candy, because that seed is hard inside of it. You got to more or less just chew and suck that outer cover off of those things. Spit the seed out.
Okay. What is it supposed to do for you?
Well, I wish my wife were here. She could tell you more about that. But it works on, well, let me put it this way. It supposedly keeps your immune system in balance. I'm not the one that knows all about that.
Uh-huh.
She is.
Okay.
And if you've got a cold, you supposedly take these things and it'll get rid of your cold in like 24 hours, if I remember correctly.
Well, I don't doubt it. You know, the American Indians, the Native Americans, used all kinds of herbs and all kinds of natural products like tree bark, certain types of tree bark, for health reasons. And one of the things that I learned when I was taking organic chemistry in college, one of the experiments that we had to prove we could do was to make in the laboratory acetyl salicylic acid, commonly known as aspirin. And in the lecture that we had on that, I learned that American Indians were getting acetyl salicylic acid out of tree bark, and I forget which tree, but there's a particular tree that it's in, and they were using it long before anybody from Europe knew anything about aspirin. And aspirin is a miracle drug, and they knew about it. They were using it. They didn't call it aspirin, but they were using it.
Right, and I think when somebody was in pain, if I'm remembering correctly, they would give them a piece of that bark of the tree to chew on.
Yeah, also to bring down fever.
Right.
Yeah, that's absolutely true.
Last night's show, where you had Sam on there, Sam Maranto.
Yeah.
Have you ever thought about going with him to check out some of that info for yourself?
Well, I've thought about going with a number of people. The problem is that, honestly, I mean, this is really not a joke. If I take 1 hour away from our schedule, it'll take me 4 or 5 hours to get it cranked back up, to get that 1 hour cranked back up again. It's like an assembly line, where everything has to happen in order for me to get it all done, to be able to be at the microphone. And it's really honestly not a joke when I say I work 20 hours a day. It takes 18 hours. Well, it takes actually about 14 to 16 hours to get ready to do the show, to get all of the editing done, to get all the video stuff done, to get all the research done, all that. And then 2 hours to do the show. So if it's if we take 14 hours to get ready, then it's 16 hours to by the time you do the show. And there's another 4 hours of post-production and uploading and getting set up for the next show, and then I can go to sleep. So if I take 1 hour away, it causes a ripple effect.
Well, if since Jerry's your associate host, could he not go and do the investigation and come back with the information?
He could, and all it takes is for somebody to cover those expenses for him.
Right.
Because he is in he is in Arizona now. And to go with Sam, he would have to go to Illinois. So he'd have to fly over to Illinois and be able to fly back and then have his expense money while he's there. So, yeah, I mean, all that kind of stuff would be great. All it takes is money.
Right. One more thing, and then I'll get off of here. About, you know, Sergeant Norton. I just don't feel good about when I think about his demise because, as you know and as you've said, he put himself out there and painted a big target on himself. And he was not afraid. He was not going to be intimidated. Mm-hmm. And so the people said, well, if you're going to be a target, we'll take aim at you. And apparently they did.
So you're of the opinion that he was murdered?
I am. I would say that, according to the power structure, the problem has been alleviated. Let's put it that way.
Well, James Norton, let's say that your theory of this, that he was murdered, let's say that's true. Okay, so assuming that it's true, then we could say, from their point of view, James Norton has been eliminated. But
yes.
Their problem has grown.
Yes.
You know, it's sort of like, you know, slapping a grease fire. It just splatters everywhere. And so it's if that's what they did, if it is murder, that was dumb. What a dumb move. The very best thing they could do.
The intelligence community doesn't mean that they're intelligent.
Well, yeah, the very best thing they could do if they wanted this to die is to laugh at it publicly and to ignore it otherwise.
Exactly.
But
anytime somebody that gets to be well known passes away, especially when they've been on a show like yours or some of the others, then it automatically draws attention to itself.
Yeah, and you know, one thing that also draws attention is all this information that's coming out now that he was never in the Army and all that, and that's nonsense. He was.
It is.
He was in the Army, and but having that come out now makes it appear that there is now a disinformation and discrediting campaign going on. Maybe that's not the case, but that's what it looks like.
Well, that's sort of, to me, like saying that Roswell was a crash dummy, as you know, for testing for, you know, the atomic weapons from Russia.
Yeah, well, in my opinion, the people managing the cover stories have not been excessively bright about human nature. And, I mean, there are ways to do a cover story, and they've chosen all of the wrong ways.
Sort of like the news media, right?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. All right, Kevin, you have a great night.
All right. Thanks for the call.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye. 623-444-5889. 623-444-5889. We'll talk about whatever you want to talk about. It's Open Line Live tonight. I did bring up early in the show, I brought up the subjects of James Norton, Command Sergeant Major James Norton, and this report about talking Sasquatch. If you don't want to talk about those, we'll talk about what's on your mind, all right? Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Good evening, Kevin. It's Ray from California.
Hello, Ray. How are you?
I'm doing fine. I have a couple of questions about James Horak.
Okay.
I'm on my cell phone. Hold on a minute. It's getting echo. After you had him on your show, I went to his website and I thoroughly went through that. I did not see or hear anything there that pertained to what he called a split mind.
Mm-hmm.
Do you recall anything that he said that described that and what the problem was? I can't find it.
Well, I don't want to put words in his mouth, but my understanding of it is that we have a split consciousness.
Right.
And we even talk about it. You know, we say, well, this person is left brain or right brain dominant. And we some people are all about feelings, and some people are all about rationality. And so we have this split as to which one is more important, and there's no such thing as our consciousness being unified. We're ambivalent. And that's what he's talking about. And in my presentation to the Alchemy event, I talk about that. And that's going to air tomorrow in our members' community. Think about this. Does your car use gasoline?
Of course.
Does your car also use water?
Yes.
Which one is more important?
Well, let's see. Gasoline would be, I would think.
Well, you're not going very far without both.
Well, that's true.
If you don't have gasoline, you're not going to go very far at all. And if you've got gasoline and no water in the radiator, you're not going to go very far, and it's going to burn up.
That's very true. I have experienced that.
So that's kind of what we're talking about. It takes both for the machine to work right.
Did he not mention...
Ray, hang on. We have a break taking over. I'll get to you on the other side of this break. Hang on. We'll be back, folks, right after this. And welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. We're on final approach. We only have a few minutes left. On the telephone with me from California, Ray. And, Ray, I had to cut you off in mid-sentence because the break took over, so the floor is yours.
Thanks, Kevin. I was thinking about that. I think his term was split brain, but it was the consciousness like you were talking about. But I thought it was the conscious mind and unconscious mind. And I wanted to know, he never said how it was split. And I don't know what the answer to that is. I couldn't find it anywhere. So I thought I'd call you up and ask you if you knew.
You're right. Conscious and unconscious, I think, is where he talks about the split. When we talk about emotions and rationality, we're talking about the same thing, because emotions come from the unconscious side. And so, I'm not real sure the details about how and when it was split. and who did it and why, and what we have to do to get our consciousness unified again. But he does talk about that. I would suggest you just send him an email. Does he have a contact link there anywhere? Or I think he does have a Facebook page. You can contact him that way.
Yeah, I probably should do that.
Yeah. Yeah, just give him...
Thinking, my theory on this is that happened last time they passed through the galactic plane, and the reason that I say that is when we go through it on 2012, we may become enlightened and become whole again. And I think Jerry was alluding to the fact that, you know, it was going to be a good thing, and I thought, well, maybe that's what it is. We really get to find out, being whole, what's really going on. What do you think?
Well, I think it's a possibility, of course. But then if it split our consciousness the last time we went through it, what if it splits it again? Now we're in quarters.
Oh. That's throwing the dice the wrong way.
So, you know, I don't think that would happen. I think there's a possibility that what Jerry talks about is going to happen, that it'll become unified and that we will become enlightened. I think there's a possibility of that. There's a possibility that absolutely nothing happens to us as well. The point is, none of us have been through it. Nobody living on this planet has been through it before. So, I mean, the last time it happened was 26,000 years ago. So, it's going to be an exciting ride. It'll all be new to us.
Yeah, I am. What I've been doing is I've had a lot of subliminal tapes and whatnot, using the subconscious mind to program myself so I could enhance myself. And so when this topic came up, I became very keenly interested in it.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know what the other people out there are thinking, but, you know, that's, I was told that was the key to success, so I spent a lot of money trying to be successful in that matter. It actually did enhance me a lot. So naturally, when he said that, I thought, well, what is the way that we could put it back together ourselves, and maybe there's some kind of frequency set or something that would enable us to get whole again or heal. So, I mean, I was all up into that, and so I was excited to call you about it. Find mm-hmm. out what you knew.
Well, actually, I don't know a lot about it. You know, I did spend some time with James. We did talk about it, but we spent most of our time talking about other things and going and looking at other things that you've heard me talk about here on the show. And
Absolutely.
You know, I had a limited amount of time, and but I think if you contact him and tell him, you know, you have some questions about it, you'd like to know about it, I think he would be willing to converse with you about it.
Okay, that's what I'll do. I'll get on Facebook and contact him.
All right.
All right, Kevin, thank you very much.
You bet. Thanks for the call. We have time for one more call, maybe if you call right now. But we're very close to the end of the show, and as you have seen, Open Line Live opens up a lot of doors to a lot of topics. It's one of the reasons I like it. For me, it's kind of like getting to go back to university again, because you're discussing so many different topics, and I absolutely love that. Then in Mexico, the National Institute of Anthropology and History has announced that there is a second reference to December 21st, 2012. up until recently, up until this report, the only known reference, just one, is on a stone tablet from Tortuguero in the Gulf Coast state of Tabasco. And that's where December 21st, 2012, and all information pertaining thereto has come from. But there is a brick that they have found called the Comalcalco brick. It's in the museum, and it has December 21st, 2012, although it could be December 23rd, 2012. They're real unsure at this point. But one of the things that I think was pretty interesting is that the institute where this resides repeated in their press release that Western, I'm quoting now, Western messianic thought has twisted the cosmovision of ancient civilizations like the Maya. So what they're saying is, yeah, it's there, but the Western interpretation of it is wrong. And I would have to say that is entirely possible. On the Tortuguero inscription, it is described that in 2012 there will be something involving Bolan Yokti, the mysterious Mayan god associated with both war and with creation. And the best that they can translate that is it says something about he will descend from the sky. So 2012 is back in the news with a new brick. Interesting about the brick, though, the way it was carved and the way the brick was made. It was made to face inward with stucco on the outside, so it was never intended for people to see it. Interesting, huh? Okay, folks, that's pretty much going to be a wrap for this evening. And let me remind you that K-Files will start going out here momentarily. If you have not yet subscribed, do it and activate your subscription right now. If you do, you'll get this week's edition of the K-Files. If you're not a member, join. And one of the benefits is we have these special broadcasts in the members community. If you are a member, you get to see them. Okay? And we've got one tomorrow. It will repeat on Sunday. It only costs $7.50 a month to join. If you divide that by 30 days, that comes out to 25 cents a day. Come on, that's nothing. $7.50 a month, and I'll give you the first 7 days free right now. So sign up right now, and be sure to read the new members info. Once you log in, read the new members info. Then you'll be able to watch. My friends call me Steel Eye. My enemies do too. You can call me whatever you want. Just keep coming back again and again and again. Until next time, so long, everybody.